السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. أهلا وسهلا ومرحبا بكم. Welcome to Radio Islam International this Sunday morning. It is the 1st of November. Another year comes to an end, just 2 months left, and we today with Mulana Imran Khamisa, that's our discussion. We're going to be speaking on how to attain barakah. Now, as human beings, we have tasks and desires that we want to accomplish. But despite all the modern technology, which is supposed to have made things easier for us, most of us, unfortunately, are still complaining that we don't see the desired effect for the work that we put in. Something seems to be missing always. And what is that something? That something is barakah. That something is barakah from our lives. So today, inshallah, in our discussion, we're going to be speaking to Mulana Imran Khamisa, who is the principal of the Port Shepstone Muslim School. And Mulana will be in our company between now and 11:30, inshallah. We have Mulana with us on the line. Mulana, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh to you, Mulana, and your listeners.
How are you keeping, Mulana?
Shukr, alhamdulillah. Allah has been kind, alhamdulillah.
Alhamdulillah. It's been a long time since I last spoke to Mulana on the program. Jazakumullah for your time. Allah Rabbul Izzah reward you, inshallah. Mulana, today we want to speak about lack of time, the reason behind this year. Perhaps that could be our first question, Mulana. Most of us complain about the lack of time. What could be the reason behind this, Mulana?
Alhamdulillah, alhamdulillah wahda wa salatu wa salamu ala ma la nabiyya ba'da. Mulana, really, you're quite right. It's true, everybody is complaining about the lack of time. It's a common complaint here nowadays. And as in your preamble, you just mentioned that there's 2 months left before the end of the year. The year just flew by, and the time is just gone. Where is it gone to? It's already November, or already Muharram. You know, one of the reasons could be that, as Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has mentioned about the taqarub al-zaman, that when time will be very close and time will go so quickly. In the hadith reported by Anas radiallahu anhu, where he said that Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said that the hour shall not come until time will be considered short. And a year will appear like a month like a week like a day like an hour, and so on. And in this we actually experience that. That, you know, where is the time gone? A person cannot even account for what he has done. It's gone so quick. And many commentators have explained that this refers to the missing element, that is, that the barakah in the time has gone. Because the time now passes so quickly without anything constructive really being achieved. But the reality, Mawlana, is that the physical quantity of time itself, that has not changed. You know, 24 hours are still 24 hours. 60 seconds still make that minute, and 60 minutes still make that hour, and that 7 days still make that week. So that part hasn't changed. And while we have the time is flying, time is going very quickly, you know, there are still some people who actually manage to accomplish more tasks than others. Now, the reason being is that the way we look at time and what we do with this time, you know, some people just watch time pass by, they're whiling away their time, while others make a concerted effort to use it more productively. You know, I'm so busy doing things that are not so important that I don't have time for the important things in life. Now, like any other resource or blessing or ni'mat from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, time is such a thing. If it's not managed correctly, it can also just be wasted. Now, because time is not something tangible, we can't feel it, we don't see it, you know, physically in front of us, you know, like I'm seeing water or some money that I have, I don't really think I'm losing it. I don't see myself losing it. So in time, because barakah is a missing element, we find that when you use our time the right way, that is when you have barakah in it, and that's how people will benefit from it. I mean, this is so important in terms of time. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we often hear this whenever time being spoke about, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has taken qasam on different aspects of time, and even time in certain surah al-asr, وَالْعَصْرِ إِنَّ الْإِنسَانَ لَفِي خُسْرٍ, by the declining day, man is in a state of loss. And one person actually described this asr, and he said, if you look at asr itself, what is asr? Refers to a busy time in the afternoon between, you know, when the sun is about to set, the last few hours of daylight. And the word asir also means juice, right? And it also comes from them. How do you get juice? You actually squeeze it out from the fruit. So a person wants to squeeze out of time and to do whatever he really wants to do. So we find in this that time, the 24 hours that are there, that has to be managed properly. And if there's no barakah in it, then we will be in a real state of loss.
Malana, with regard to barakah itself, how does one define barakah?
Barakah, you know, generally people translate it as blessing, but there's a beautiful definition given where it says, "Hiya thubutul khayri ilahi fi shay." Hiya thubutul khayri ilahi fi shay. But barakah is the attachment of the divine goodness into something. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's goodness is in this thing. فَإِنَّا إِذَا حَلَّتْ فِي قَلِيلٍ كَثَّرَتْهُ. If it occurs in something that's little, what does barakah do? It increases it. كَثَّرَتْهُ. وَإِذَا حَلَّتْ فِي كَثِيرٍ. If it occurs in something that is abundant, that's a lot, نَفَعَ. It benefits. وَمِنْ أَعْظَمِ ثِمَارِ الْبَرَكَةِ. And from the greatest fruit of barakah is إِسْتِمَعَلُهَا فِي طَاعَةِ اللَّهِ عَزَّ وَجَلَّ. Is the using of that in the obedience of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That's the definition that is given. But let us try and understand it. Now, barakah itself, you know, when a person has a lot of something, it doesn't necessarily mean that it is good for him. Now, barakah itself, barakah means, if you look at the definition and if you look at the word, and if you describe what's there and you break it down, you'll find it shows you no more, it shows growth, it shows ziyada, it shows increase. And in this we want to find an increase in the benefit of it, and probably increase in the number as well. So when something grows, it increases. Then the other meaning given with barakah is that you find when the camel is kneeling down, they say the same word is used for the camel. Now, why does a camel kneel down? It kneels down, they say, for stability. So, you know, you are in a position where you are stable. When you have this kind of barakah, you also you have abundance. Not only with abundance, but you're also able to enjoy these bounties, the divine bounties from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And these favors are not there for a short while, but they exist there all the time. So when we speak about barakah and we make dua to barakah, we find the meanings of benefit, of abundance, of something that's maybe plenty at times. And sometimes it's something that will give you joy and contentment. So in terms of everyday activities, you know, a person sometimes he comes home, he just has got his paycheck, he's got it today, tomorrow, there's nothing there. And he just comes from one hand, goes in the other hand. He couldn't even benefit from it, you know. Sometimes a person has many children, but they're not a source of comfort for him. His home is not what a home should be. When a person looks at the material things that are there, they are not giving him the kind of tranquility he's looking for in his house. In the food, he doesn't have the taste, neither does he have the blessing in it, which would give him that kind of barakah. In times when he has a family, because the children don't have that kind of akhlaq, you find there's no barakah in that. In the family itself, when there's no harmony in terms of relationship, there's no understanding, there's no barakah in that. Then, even in his time, right, it's so occupied and taken away, there's no barakah in that itself. In terms of his health, he doesn't find any barakah in that. In terms of his age, sometimes despite his age being having a long life, but still he doesn't find happiness in it. He doesn't find contentment in it. So it is all these little things that make life really worthwhile. Make being a pleasure, being with the family. Bring the taste in that kind of food. And that some kind of benefit in terms of the money that I have, in terms of what Allah Ta'ala has given me. How can this go that extra mile in terms of me benefiting from it and me using it in terms of my life? This is how we will look at barakah, that the definition of barakah itself, where that extra is put in. And that can only come from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah Ta'ala says in Quran, ولو أن أهل القرى آمنوا واتقوا لفتحنا عليهم بركات من السماء. That if the people of the town had they had taqwa, had they had taqwa, they were God conscious because of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and they believed, لَفَتَحْنَا عَلَيْهِمْ بَرَكَاتٍ مِنَ السَّمَاءِ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, we have opened for them the blessings from the skies. Now, here we look at it, we find this, Allah ta'ala mentions barakah here in this verse of Quran. In another verse of Quran, Allah ta'ala says, وَفِي السَّمَاءِ رِزْقُكُمْ مَا تُوَعَدُونَ. In the sky is your sustenance is there. In the sustenance is there for everybody. But the barakah itself, it doesn't come to everybody. Well, this comes to whoever it's supposed to, but the barakah is a special favor of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala put the special favor, the special barakah, the special blessing into the things that I mentioned, whether it's my family, whether it's my wealth, whether it's my children, and the various the daily activities of mine. This kind of barakah gives me that kind of extra pull or the extra benefit that a person would be happy in terms of deriving in whatever he is doing. So going back to the original definition, Mawlana, in terms of barakah itself, if you got abundance, if you got less, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will make it more. And if you got more, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will make it such that whatever you have will benefit you. Will benefit you. When it's a source of benefit, then there's a barakah for it. Otherwise, just amassing things, accumulating things, and thinking that's a barakah and that's a blessing, that's a false notion.
Mm. Well, we just got... Okay, we still got some time. Well, we can go with the next question, inshallah, very quickly. What are some of the ways that we deprive ourselves from barakah?
Okay. You know, alhamdulillah, we find in terms of the deen of Islam, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has made it said it's a way of life, you know. It's not I do one thing in a masjid, I do something else outside and think I can get the kind of barakah. It doesn't work like that. In terms of Quran, in terms of hadith, we find that when we look at the hadith of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, where he mentions that وَإِنَّ الْعَبْدَ لَيُحْرَمُ الرِّزْقُ بِذَنْبِ يُصِيبُهُ. A person is deprived of his sustenance because of a sin that he has committed. That is one thing. When a person is deprived of sustenance because of some sin he has committed. The other thing that's there, other reason that is given, where a person will be deprived of goodness and of blessings and of barakah, is when a person cheats in business. He deceives. He doesn't tell the truth. He is not honest. When a person doesn't tell the truth and he is not honest, what you'll find? You'll find that he's also gone from what the hadith explains of people benefiting from the different kinds of activities. The hadith explains that when two contracting parties meet, البيعاني بالخيار ما لم يتفرقا. When two contracting parties meet, they have a choice as long as they have not separated, they have not departed from each other. But look at what the hadith mentions. فَإِن صَدَقَ وَبَيَّنَا. If they are truthful in their speech and what they are saying to each other, وَبَيَّنَا, and they both explained whatever had to be explained concerning the kind of the item or the details of the sale, بُورِكَ لَهُمَا فِي بَيْعِهِمَا. They will be blessed in the transaction. The barakah will be there. بُورِكَ لَهُمَا فِي بَيْهِمَا. And the hadith goes further to say, وَإِن كَذَبَا. And if they both lie, وَكَتَمَا. And they conceal, مُحِقَتْ بَرَكَةُ بَيْهِمَا. The barakah, the blessings of that particular transaction will be removed. Another hadith has a similar meaning, and it also has the addition to say that perhaps the person may make a profit, but the barakah will be gone from there. You know, today you would find a person, you know, going around bragging about how he did this deal and he hoodwinked the other guy on the other side. You know, he didn't even see the fine print. You know, I pulled the wool over his eyes before he knew it. He signed the document and I got a packet for myself. And we show off talking about this, thinking we amassed something. But is that really taking us anyway? When you got something with you that it hasn't been earned halal, when you got something with you that there's no barakah in it, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's blessing is not there, what will happen? What benefit will that be? Do I have that kind of conscience that I can feed my children? Would that kind of money, that kind of wealth, which is ill-gotten, which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala himself says in the hadith of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, muhiqat barakatu bi'ihima, that the barakah of this particular sale is gone. The barakah is removed from there. How can I think it will take me very, very far? Then a person finds himself very disappointed, you know, while we take pride on one side, you know, I'm a good businessman, I've got this kind of acumen, you know, and I managed to do this and I managed to do that, and this is how much money that I made. But I don't consider anything at all in terms of whether I'm speaking the truth, I'm explaining everything, in terms of honesty, whether this was a wealth that I got through cheating, through deceiving. These are the things that will definitely make it difficult for me in terms of attaining that barakah and in terms of preserving that in my home. Even also the hadith explains of al-halifu manfa'atun lisila, that the person, when he makes this kind of statements, you know, people take the custom of Allah, you know, I'm giving you at cost price, man, you know, I'm actually running into loss here, man, you know, I'm just doing you a favor, you know, you won't get it cheaper anywhere else, you know how much it costs me, and he goes to town and lying. While it can look like some kind of benefit, but it is mamhaqatun lil barakah, it removes all the kind of blessings that are there. So in this we find that even in trade itself, that we should ensure that, you know, while we make dua, we make dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the masjid, we raise our hands, oh Allah, bless me in my home, bless me in my family, bless me in my business. But don't go doing those things that will remove the barakah physically from the person's life, from your life at all. Because like this, it doesn't just stay there. I mean, when you're feeding your children with haram and doing certain things, then this particular effect goes on for a longer time than the benefit that you see.
We're going to have to just wrap up quickly for the 11 o'clock news, and inshallah thereafter we'll continue with our program. Welcome back to Radio Islam International. It is the program of Mawlana Imran Khamisa, the Sunday morning, and this morning we are speaking about barakah in our time, barakah in our lives, barakah in everything that we do. Mawlana has explained the definition of barakah and the ultimate source of barakah for us as believers as well. We have Marana back with us on the line. Marana, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Imran sahab, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah. Okay, perhaps we lost Marana Imran there. Our engineer brother Hafiz Hanzala is going to get out of Marana again very quickly. But just to recap very quickly, as human beings, we have this task and the desire that we want to accomplish despite the modern technology that should and have made our lives much easier for us, but unfortunately we still seem to be complaining that there is never enough time. We don't ever see the desired effect for our work that we put in. Something is missing from our lives, and that something is barakah. Okay, we got Marana with us back on the line. Marana, jazakumullah for your time. Welcome back to the program, and assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Wa alaikum
salam
wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Marasab, just before the break we spoke about defining barakah and what is barakah in our lives. Marana, maybe if Marana from your side can say, throughout our lives we supplicate to Allah for barakah for ourselves as well as for others. Why is this barakah that we keep on asking for so important?
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. You're right. If you think about the daily life of a Muslim, we're always making dua for somebody. I mean, that when you made salam to me, you said, Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Mm. You know, peace be upon you, the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and may the barakah and the blessing of Allah ta'ala be upon you. We make the dua for barakah day. You are either drinking some milk, the dua, Allahumma barik lana fi wa zidna minhu, Allah bless us in that. You go to somebody's home, the dua is, Allahumma barik lahum fi ma razaqtahum wa kfir lahum wa rahamhum, oh Allah, you bless them in that which you have granted them, you know. And you'll find in various places, we are making dua for barakah. Even when a person is getting married, we say, Allahumma barik, barakallahu alayk, wa jama'a baytakum fi khair, may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bless you and keep you in happy union. So in this also we find the barakah itself is something that we're always making dua for. And, you know, probably we just know the dua, we recite it at different occasions, but the reality of it is this is the important ingredient that makes life worthwhile, you know. As you mentioned, because this barakah thing is such an intangible thing, and because you can't see it, you can't measure it, you don't worry about the consequences, and we don't even worry about the significance and the true impact it has in our life. I mean, people who have, you know, in terms of barakah itself, little food or sleep, suffering, you know, from different kinds of needs. You want freedom from stress. You don't want freedom from bad health or wrong choices, or you don't want your energy to be depleted or your savings to finish up so quickly. You know, you find it works so differently. You know, you get increase at work sometimes, but most of it being spent in unforeseen expenses, like your extra medical bills suddenly. Suddenly there are other demands and other needs, other expenditure which you didn't even think about, right? But when you have barakah, you'll find that extra addition, that extra value, which really is important in a person's life, that will come to you, you know. Sometimes you spend your whole life, you're educating your children to the best of schools, to the best of universities. Then you find them in the end lacking values, that they cannot even respect you. So there's no real barakah in terms of that kind of upbringing. You know, a person, a normal laborer, daily wages he gets, and he's enjoying his simple life. He has a nice appetite, he has a good night's sleep. On the other hand, you may have a person who is a millionaire, and during his day he's stressed out, and he cannot even manage. He has so many things to take care of. And at night he can't even sleep because he's worried about his empire or what are the threats they are there to that. So this whole thing becomes so difficult when there's no barakah in it. When barakah is in the person's life, the end result will be more productive. The person will be able to have a pleasant life in this world, but he shouldn't forget about the akhirah. That's why when you speak of barakah itself, remember the short-term gains that I think I'm making in this dunya, without barakah, will result in disaster in the year after. Even though it may look profitable, as the hadith we mentioned earlier on. Another thing we mentioned is that you'll find, even in life, that there are two people who can possess the same thing. They have the same amount of time, they have the same amount of money, they have the same amount of resources, yet the amount of barakah the two may have may vary. While resources we acquire may be within our control, but the barakah that results from them is that only from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah ta'ala is the source of all barakah. He is the one who puts the barakah in it. He puts the blessing in it. He makes it possible for us to utilize it in a particular manner. And this is important, that we keep this connection within us with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to get the desired benefit. So in that, it is the barakah in the means which provides us with the abundance, with the peace of mind we're talking about, the contentment we're talking about, the happiness that we're talking about. And sometimes we get so busy acquiring and spending without giving a second thought to where they are coming from. And, you know, these things sometimes are devoid of barakah, deprived of barakah itself, then we don't know where we are going with that. As humans, our capabilities can only take us so far. But the additional help, the help of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that is the barakah that is required so that we can all fulfill our potential.
Definitely. Well, from the examples of barakah, are we able to cite from the life of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam any of them?
Alhamdulillah, we find really Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam himself, he was a blessing in being here and being sent to us as rahmatul alameen. And we could see it everywhere. Often it's quoted even when we speak about his very beginning, that his very presence was a source of barakah for those around him. The very famous incident concerning Halima Sa'diyah, who took care of him, the change that took place in terms of her own home, her own benefit, her own orchards, her own plantations, and the barakah in terms of her own animal, which was so weak, and now suddenly the animal is able to go so far herself in terms of her own weakness, and then she's able to provide so much, is there in terms of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam himself. Then we find when Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam also made dua, when he made dua for others as well. And in this, there are some examples. One is that of Hazrat Anas bin Malik radiallahu anhu. We know that he was very young, and Umm Sulaym, she was the mother of Anas radiallahu anhu, and she says she thought that, you know, everybody comes and gives things to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam in terms of he could benefit with in terms of the deen. Now, she didn't have that kind of wealth. So she tells the Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam that Anas is your servant. He is your khadim. You make a special dua for him. You make a special dua for him. Then Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam did make a dua for Anas radiallahu anhu. Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam mentioned, Allahumma akthir ma lahu. Oh Allah, increase the wealth of Anas. Now, it has been mentioned that Hazrat Anas radiallahu anhu himself said, Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam made dua for him and his children, and Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam made dua for barakah and in whatever he had given him. Hazrat Anas later on says, he said, I swear by Allah that my property was abundant. He had enough property later on in his life, and his children and grandchildren exceeded the neighborhood of 100 in number. So in terms of him himself benefiting from the dua of Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam and the barakah of that, in fact, what was it? He made the khidmat of Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam. His mother gave him to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and this is how he benefited. The barakah itself, even the barakah in terms of the orchards that were there, while people had the orchards producing fruit only once a year, Hazrat Anas radiallahu anhu, he had the benefit to the barakah of the dua of Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam, where his orchard was producing fruit twice a year. So in this you find that when Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam made the kind of dua, he made the dua for such people, they found the barakah and the blessing in it. It's also mentioned about Abu Huraira radiallahu anhu, that Abu Huraira anhu told Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he said, I hear many narrations, many ahadith from you, but I tend to forget them. I hear many hadiths from you, but I tend to forget them. So Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam told him, spread your upper garment. And so he said, I did that. And he moved his hands, and he emptied my riba, my shawl, and then he said, take and wrap this sheet over your body. He said, I did this, and after that, I never forgot anything. This was the barakah in the life of Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And there's various instances where things were difficult, but Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam, to the barakah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, you find that people were able to do whatever they needed to do. But you also do understand that when Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam was given the option in terms of where he was told that when he was going through difficulty, that if you want, the mountains could be changed to gold for him, and they could go with him wherever he needed to go. But he says, no, I don't want to take that option. Imagine a mountain of gold being offered to Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He doesn't prefer to take that option. And he says, no, I rather take it. When Allah Ta'ala gives me anything, I can make shukr to him. When I don't have it, I can make sabr in terms of his connection with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So in this we find in the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he showed us barakah itself. He also showed us the reality. But in terms of amassing and in terms of having abundance of something, not necessarily in that is the blessing of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala.
Okay. And Brother Sir, when we look at ways of attaining barakah, what role does sincerity of intention play in attaining barakah?
Well, sincerity in self, ikhlas, that is of utmost importance. Because ikhlas itself, now when a person has ikhlas, you are doing it solely for the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. In fact, it has the greatest role. Because if you're doing it for anybody else, none of those people you're trying to do it for can benefit you in any way. While outwardly it may seem a certain person has some kind of influence, a person has some kind of status, a person has some kind of wealth, but if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala doesn't wish for that to benefit you in any way, it will never benefit. So that ikhlas is extremely important in terms of attaining that barakah. That is why the connection with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has to be there purely for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. When a person has this connection with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then all other doors are open. You've actually got the key to the right treasure. You've got the key to the treasures of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala when you do it solely for the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Man needs to understand that in terms of my influence, you know, in human relationships, a person is happy with you today, he's cross with you tomorrow. You know, he's your friend today, he's your enemy tomorrow, and that fluctuates and goes along. Because we don't know each other, we don't know each other's intentions, and we don't know why we want to be with each other, or whether we're using each other, or we're trying to help each other. But with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the relationship is pure. You know you can hide nothing from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You have total ikhlas, oh Allah, what I'm doing today, during the light of the day or the darkness of the night, you're totally aware of it. What I'm doing in public or in the privacy of my home, you're totally aware of it. What I'm doing in my hometown or I'm doing abroad in a faraway holiday destination somewhere in a remote part of the world, you're also aware of it. So in that, there is nothing you hide from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So when a person is very sincere, and you do things solely for the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's barakah will come pouring through.
SubhanAllah. When I'm giving charity, it outwardly seems that our wealth is decreasing. How does it become a means of barakah for us?
See, really, also very important, because, you know, as we see things, you've got 1,000 rand in your pocket, and you take out, somebody comes and you decide to give them 100 rand, the mathematics would say the 1,000 minus 100 is equal to 900. But the barakah of it doesn't work like that. You know, a person thinks that I've given off 100 rands, you know, I've fallen short here. Or sometimes a person finds and he thinks, you know, if visitors came to my house now, you know, I'm down, they hit me down for about 2,000 rands, and that's where to give them a braai and this and that. You know, it cost me a lot. But the hadith, what are the words of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? Nabi sallallahu took a qasam on this. He said, Wallahi. Took a qasam, he said, Wallahi, ma naqasa malu abdin min sadaqa. That the wealth of a person does not decrease in giving charity. The wealth of a person does not decrease in giving charity. When a person gives charity, and outwardly you feel that I have some resources that I have, I've given it to somebody else, I'm less here. Take the example of the money we spoke about just now. You had 1,000 rand in your pocket, and somebody was in need of 100, and you gave that person that 100 rands, and you're sitting with the 900 rands in your pocket. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, what is the barakah in this? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will make it such, on that 900, that you will reach, you'll be able to fulfill, in terms of your own needs, more than a normal 900 rand would fulfill. You may probably be able to fulfill even more, beyond even 1,000 or 2,000 rands, or even more. Allah, ذَلِكَ فَضْلُ اللَّهِ يُتِيهِ مَنْ يَشَاءُ. That is the grace of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He gives whatever He wants. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala can multiply it even more. You may find something that is normally very expensive, you probably found it cheap somewhere. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will make that money that is with you go for a longer period. You can actually use it and you can actually benefit from it. Otherwise, if you don't give that kind of charity, you don't give that kind of charity because Quran mentions وَفِي أَمْوَالٍ حَقٌّ لِسَّائِلِ وَالْمَحْرُومِ. That the wealth that you have in your wealth, there's a share there. There's a share for that beggar. There's a share for those who don't have. So when you're keeping it, you're actually keeping somebody else's share, which is unfair. That is why we need to give our charity. And when you give the charity, not only is Allah Ta'ala telling us that you'll be rewarded for that, you are doing your duty, fulfilling the obligation, the responsibility, but in that what remains, that is pure now for you. خُذْ مِنْ أَمْوَالِهِمْ صَدَقَةً تُطَهِّرُمْ وَتَزَكِّيهِمْ. Take, Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam was told, take from their wealth the kind of charity they're going to give, and that will purify them. It'll be more wholesome. The money that you have with you will take you a longer way. And they also now, the 100 rand that you gave, you don't know what benefit that is. That person who you gave that money to, he probably bought something and he sustained himself, he's able to sustain his family, he must have engaged in ibadah. You are getting the barakah of the good that that person is doing because you, with the food that you gave him, with the money that you gave him, and with whatever you shared with him, and you from your pocket, you took it out with a good heart, you didn't feel upset about it, you didn't feel, oh, this guy is a burden on me, and you gave it with a even nafs, with a good heart, then you find that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala makes it such, that particular act of yours will take you so far that on the day of Qiyamah, sometimes you would wonder, what actually happened here? Where did I get this particular sawab from? So charity itself, when a person gives this kind of charity, it doesn't make things short in any way. In fact, we should try to keep and do things to be consciously in terms of being able to give charity. There's also a very famous incident of Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam, that a person walking, that once there was a person walking, and he heard a voice from the cloud saying, "Go and supply water to so and so's garden. You know, iski hadika di fulanin." Go to a particular garden and supply water. So then he found, thereupon the cloud moved in that particular direction and rained on a piece of stony land. A channel collected the whole of that water and it began to flow in a particular direction. He followed it and it came to a man who stood with a shovel in his hand and he was diverting the water to his garden. The person asked the man his name, and when he told him what the name was, and he asked him, "Why are you asking me my name?" لِمَا تَسْأَلُنِي عَنْ إِسْمِي. He said, "إِنِّي سَمِعْتُ صَوْتًا فِي السَّحَابِ الَّذِي هَذَا مَا أُهُ يَقُولُ إِسْكِ حَدِيقَةِ فُلَانٍ." That I heard a sound in the clouds, saying that, and calling the name which you gave me, the name that you gave me. Calling your very name, I heard that name in the clouds. So he says, the first person said that he heard that, and to go to a particular person's garden, and the garden is your garden that is being spoken about. So the owner of the garden replied now that he had no option but to reveal to him the true facts of what actually happened. So he told him that whatever produce he acquired, whatever produce he acquired, فَإِنِّي أَنْظُرُ إِلَى مَا يَخْرُجُ مِنْهَا فَأَتَصَدَّقُ بِثُلُثِهِ وَآكُلُ أَنَا وَيَالِي ثُلُثًا وَرُدُّ فِيهَا ثُلُثًا. Whatever produce came out from the land, he divided it into three equal parts. One part, one third of the produce, he gave away promptly as charity. The second part he kept for himself and his family. And the remaining one third, he reinvested in the garden itself. So in this we find this particular hadith where it shows us that the words of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, we shouldn't have any doubt in the words of Allah and Rasul Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam while we think we are giving things away and we cannot get any benefit in return. How will we be able to control the rains, to control the clouds, to ensure that water does come to us? Here, very simply, he kept for his family, yes. He reinvested in his business, yes, but they didn't forget the share, the charity of his which he gave to others. And this is why it's so important. This is where you'll find the barakah. When you give to others, Allah Ta'ala will make means for you. Another hadith also mentions that ابغوني في ضعفائكم, that search for me in the weak amongst you. You know, when you spend on those people who are weak and those who don't have, Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala, وَيَرْزُقُ مِنْ حَيْثُ لَا يَحْتَسِبُ, He will be give you from sources you never ever imagined. So charity itself, Mawlana, when you look at it and think that how can charity become a benefit for me, a barakah for me, it's really a reality, and we need to have a yaqeen in the words of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam and the kalam of Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala.
Also, can perhaps share some of the other ways in which we can attain barakah in our lives?
There are many, many different ways concerning barakah we can bring into our lives. And many things we can engage in. Some of the things we spoke about is being honest in terms of our trade, honest in our business. We turn towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We have that kind of taqwa. We connect ourselves to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Even reciting of Quran. Reciting of Quran is also a means by which we can get kind of barakah. Allah mentions, هذا كتاب أنزلناه باركٌ, that this is a book, we revealed it, it is blessed. The recitals of Quran will bring that kind of barakah in our lives also. In fact, concerning Surah Baqarah, it is mentioned that اقرأوا سورة البقرة فإن أخذها بركة وتركها حسرة ولا يستطيعها البطلة. So read Surah Baqarah. In the taking of it, there is barakah. In the leaving of it, there is loss and regret. And those who are trying to do witchcraft will not be able to overcome you. The other simple thing we can do is to say Bismillah. You know, simple thing. Let us say Bismillah, because as the hadith says that any action in which a person doesn't say Bismillah, that action is like something that's maimed. It's not complete. So how long does it take to say Bismillah? What energy is required? What effort is required to move the tongue just to say Bismillah in the name of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? It's not difficult. So let us try to implement that in our lives, that whatever I start, I know, Allah, I cannot complete this without your help. And leave it complete, I cannot even start this. I cannot even start this without your help. And Allah, you bring this to completion and to fruition. So let's get in the habit of saying Bismillah. The next thing we can do is, when we are eating, let us eat together. Don't eat alone. Don't eat separately. You know, the hadith mentions, whoever has food enough for two persons should take a third. Whoever has food enough, will be enough for four and a fifth and a sixth and so on. So don't think that you want to go and eat alone and there is barakah. Different people eating alone. Sometimes you'll find nowadays even families when they go out that each person wants to buy his own thing. It's heavier on the pocket when each person buys his own thing. But you have make a meal, everybody shares from there. It's even less expensive, and also there's more barakah in it as well. Then also always engage in dua for barakah. Always ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. As Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would make dua, Allahumma barik lahum. Make dua for others as well when you do go and visit them. When you make istikhara as well, you'll find Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's barakah is there. You are asking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Allahumma barik li fihi, oh Allah bless me in it. The other thing is to thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in abundance, you know. وَإِن شَكَرْتُمْ لَأَزِدَنَّكُمْ. If you are grateful to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will grant you even more. Follow the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, because definitely in the sunnah of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, there is barakah in it, you know. And even when a person is eating, you know, this, you know, everything has etiquette and it's there for a reason. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam also asked us to lick our fingers when we're eating. Why? Because فَإِنَّكَ لَا تَدْرِي أَيْنَ الْبَرَكَةُ. You don't even know where the barakah is. Other important thing is to maintain ties of kinship. To maintain ties of kinship. When you maintain ties of kinship, you'll find it such that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will make it such that there will be barakah also. You know, you maintain ties even though people are harsh to you. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala would put the kind of barakah that is there. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will probably give you a longer life, because the hadith explains it to that effect. I'm looking through the details of the hadith now. Another hadith talks about waking up early, you know. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam made a dua that, oh Allah, bless my ummah in the early hours. Oh Allah, bless my ummah in the early hours. So in that hadith, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he actually told the sahaba to wake up early and do things early. And in that they found barakah. And different sahabas explained how it benefited them. The person said he got so wealthy, he didn't need anything from anybody at all after that. What did he do? He woke up early. And when he woke up early, he started soon after Fajr, and he was able to do so much more and accomplish more in the day. You can't be lying in the bed, getting up at 12 o'clock, and then thinking, where's the barakah gone? Where's the day gone to? This is something that has to be done. In marriage also there is barakah. You know, إِنْ يَكُنْ فُقَرَاءَ يُغْنِهِمُ اللَّهُ مِنْ فَضْلِهِ. But if they are poor, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will make them independent from us of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. When people marry, and you marry, and you're not demanding in terms of what you want from your partner, that will also give the kind of barakah. Then in salah itself, we turn to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in salah. When a person completes his salah, he reads his salah, he turns to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The salah is the food for the soul, and when that salah, when that food for the soul is taken regularly, it will make sure everything else is fine. Continuously ask Allah Ta'ala for forgiveness. Always ask Allah Ta'ala for forgiveness. Whenever there are rains, we know that we need to ask Allah Ta'ala for forgiveness. Make tawbah, turn towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. There are droughts, there's no rain. What do we need to do? Where's the barakah? Allah Ta'ala is withholding this kind of barakah from us. What can we do on our side? Let us turn to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in this kind of a turning that is very sincere, is very genuine, because we know Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He is the person who controls all the resources. بِيَدِهِ الْمُلْكِ. In His hand is that kind of kingdom. He has everything. Why do we turn to everybody else besides Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? So, these are some of the ways in which we can attain this barakah. and make dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that He makes it easy and grant us a barakah in all our lives, inshallah.
I mean, inshallah, Marasab, JazakumAllah for your time, for the wonderful program. Allah Rabbul Izzah reward you, inshallah, Marana, and Allah grant us all barakah in our lives.
Ameen, inshallah, wa taqadhali. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Assalamu alaikum wa barakatuh. Just 20 minutes left to 12. That is my Imam Khamis, our discussion for today, attaining barakah in our lives. Allah Rabbul Izzah grant one and all of us barakah, inshallah.